I don't know if you've listened to the news recently or read the news of the last couple of days of how many incidents there have been in the last 48 to 72 hours of individuals who were either stabbed, bitten, or beaten up by someone who took their parking place or their toy or the gadget that they wanted that they couldn't get to in time to get it. Incredible. What happens on Black Friday and now even on Thanksgiving night? I don't know if you caught this or not or saw it, but I saw this on TV a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what city it was in, but there's a group of men who got really frustrated that a certain individual would beat them out to be the first person in line every year at a certain department store in their town. So this year, they set up a tent well over a month in advance of Black Friday so that they could be the first ones in line at that department store. They had a generator in the tent that allowed them to run a refrigerator, a heater, and a microwave so that while they took turns waiting in the tent, because the rule was once you got in line, you couldn't leave. So they got up, set their place in line. Every once in a while, one would leave and one would stay. They could stay in comfort. The only thing they didn't have that they had to go home to do was shower. Pretty much everything else was taken care of. That's all in the name of being the first to be in line to get whatever it was that they thought they could not live without that was going to be discounted on Black Friday. So clearly, in this culture, we love our stuff. And many of us, and this includes followers of Christ as well, I fear have bought the cultural lie that more is better. And that having more is the way to happiness. And that seems to be very evident, more so than any other time of the year during the Christmas season. Now, I want to get something out of the way right here very early. This is not going to be an anti-Christmas message, okay? Put your pitchforks and your torches away. I am not against Christmas. I know some of you think I am, because I refuse to focus on Christmas until after Thanksgiving. I know some of you think I'm Mr. Scrooge and I hate Christmas. Let me assure you, I don't hate Christmas. I love, like many of you, Christmas music. I just like to listen to it during the Christmas season. That's all that I ask. I don't want to listen to it in November or September or October or July. I want to listen to my Christmas music in December. But I love Christmas music. And while I'm working now, I'll have Christmas music playing in the background because it's December 1st. So it's time now to have Christmas music playing. I like Christmas decorations, especially the lights that are on trees and shrubbery out in front of people's homes. I especially like the colorful ones because Dana won't let me have any of the colorful ones. We have to have white. So if you have colorful lights in your yard, I like your yard because I like red and blue and green and yellow and all the color of Christmas. I enjoy seeing Christmas trees in the window in December. I don't much care for that in July, but I do like that in December. And I like to see Christmas lights strung on people's homes. Again, in December, not in July. In July, it just kind of looks tacky, but in December, it looks okay. I love the sights and the sounds and the smell of Christmas. So this is not an anti-Christmas message. We're going to celebrate Christmas at our house. We have two Christmas trees in our house, and they're both decorated. So we like Christmas. But having said that, there are some things that I think you may not agree with me, but I'm up here this morning, and so I get to tell you kind of what I think. There are some things about Christmas that do bother me, the way we celebrate it here in America. For example, did you know that according, at least to the statistics that I was able to generate and find, that Americans spent $469 billion on Christmas presents in the year 2011. And last year the figure was a little bit less, but it was still in the ballpark of $400 to $430 billion that we spent on Christmas in the last couple of years. According to another source, it's estimated that each year nearly 50% of people spend more than they can afford on Christmas presents. According to Philip Wagner, an article he wrote entitled "Make a Financial Plan for a Great Christmas," 40% of people have to use a credit card to cover the cost of their Christmas spending. And 33% of those who use a credit card to pay for Christmas presents will take at least 6 months or longer to pay off their credit card Christmas bills. Additionally, according to Wagner, 20% of those people will have trouble making mortgage or rent payments in January because of Christmas bills coming due that month. One other one. I'm not familiar with this organization called Children's Mutual, but here's what they say. American kids, on average, receive 10 gifts besides what their parents give them for Christmas. And 40% of the toys given to American children in December are broken and or discarded by March. Now, I could throw in others, but those make the point. Statistics like that give me pause. And they make me wonder, as a culture, what are we doing in the name of having a Merry Christmas? Do we really need to spend $469 billion in order to have a Merry Christmas? Now, look, I know that the economy needs us to go out and buy some presents. That helps all of us when the economy is good. But I still have to question, what are we doing as a culture when we're spending $469 billion, many of us, on stuff that we really don't need? Is that really wise? Do millions of parents really need to be going into debt in order to put presents under the tree on Christmas morning so that children can have a Merry Christmas? Is that wise? And then there's the really big question, the ethical, the moral question. What does it say about us as a people when we spend $469 billion on things that many of us do not need, when so many in the world have so many needs that are going unmet, like food and clean drinking water and shelter and medicine. Did you know that for about $20 billion, we could probably ensure that every person in the world has clean water to drink? And that's just a small percentage of what we're going to spend pretty much this year on ties and gadgets and toys and clothes that many of us could probably go another year without. Those of us who are followers of Christ might want to remember that the guy we're following once said about himself that he didn't even have a permanent place to lay his head at night. And that more than likely the only thing he owned were the clothes on his back. And that periodically he reminded his followers that they ought to be laying up for themselves treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth, which are subject to decay and theft. And who on one occasion even told a man who wanted to follow him to first go and sell all that he had and give it to the poor and then come follow him. This is the guy we're following. This is the man we're following. And in light of that, we might want every once in a while just to rethink and reevaluate what Christmas is really all about and what it really takes to have a merry Christmas. I wonder, this is kind of my transition statement this morning, so it's important that you hear this for the rest of what I'm going to say to make sense. I wonder, what would Jesus challenge about the way we as a culture celebrate Christmas? Would he challenge anything, any belief, any practice that we have in our culture that is a part of this joyful season that we call Christmas? Again, I'm not trying to put a wet blanket on Christmas this morning or make anyone who loves this time of the year feel like I'm against it. I'm not. I love everything that is good and right and wholesome about Christmas. But I'm also a follower of Jesus, as are many of you. And so I have to ask myself, and I think we need to ask ourselves, what, if anything, might Jesus challenge about the way we as a culture and we as his followers celebrate and practice Christmas? Now, I'm not talking about whether it's even his birthday or not. And I'm not talking about whether we should or should not observe it as a religious holiday. Those are discussions maybe that are worth having, but we've had those before. I get it. December 25th, we know that's not Jesus' birthday, okay? Let's get past that. We understand that. And if you want to celebrate it as a religious holiday or not, that's up to you. But I'm talking about as a culture, as we go through this season, what might Jesus challenge about the way we as Christians living in America and Americans in general celebrate this holiday? What might he question? What might he challenge? What might we need to rethink about this time of year as his followers? Let me share three or four things this morning that I think Jesus might challenge us to remember and think about as his followers in this culture that celebrates Christmas the way that it does. Number one, I think Jesus would challenge us to reject the cultural adage that says more is always better. That's not right. The wisest man we believe to have ever lived, Solomon, said, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." Having more of something is not always better. Do we really have to have a dozen or more presents under the tree in order to have a Merry Christmas? Now, maybe it's good that some of our younger kids have gone downstairs, because they might be horrified to hear what I'm saying this morning, because many of them want as many presents as they can possibly get, right? But why do they want that? Is that good? Do we want to raise our kids to believe that more is always better? Wouldn't it be better, parents, to have maybe a few presents and no financial stress than a bunch of presents accompanied with worry about how am I going to pay for them all? Which would be better? And what do we really want to teach our children? Do we really want them to grow up being taught that more is always better? Or do we hope they get the biblical message that contentment is a virtue? And that happiness is not always found in having more. That it is possible to be happy and contented with less than what everybody else has. I really wonder if Jesus would not challenge the cultural adage that many of us, even those of us who are following him, have allowed ourselves to embrace, and that is the adage that more is always better. I suspect he might challenge that, and he might encourage us to think otherwise. I think Jesus might challenge us to remember that the gifts we get, the gifts we receive on Sunday morning, are temporary. Therefore, they are limited in value. Jesus urges us as his followers to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth, because the treasures we have that are of an earthly nature are subject to decay and theft. They don't last. As I look back now as a middle-aged man on Christmas as a child, I don't remember a single gift that I got as a child. Now, that may be partly because a portion of my memory has been removed and I don't remember things that other people might remember. I don't know. But I suspect I'm not alone in that. I don't remember hardly any of the gifts that I got as a child. But what I remember are the people who were in the house when it was Christmas time. My mom yielded a big stick in our family, and even though my two sisters and brother lived in this county, for a while they all came back on Christmas night and spent the night in our house. I don't know how she pulled that off, but somehow she was able to pull that off for the longest time, well after my sisters and brothers were grown. They had to come back and celebrate Christmas in the house that we were living in at the time. I don't remember the gifts, but I remember the people that were in the house. One of my favorite memories of Christmas is sitting around the kitchen table playing penny ante poker with the men of our family, Bobby and Keith and Ted, my other sister's husband, and every once in a while others that would be gathered there. That was the most fun I had all year long, was listening to them joke, and it was there that I learned the politically incorrect term Japanese straight. A Japanese straight means you've got nothing. Okay? And so it was in that context. That's what I remember about Christmas. What do you remember? Do you remember the gifts or the people? Even as adult parents now, I look back, I don't remember many of the gifts that we gave our kids. But I remember being with the ones I love. I wonder, wouldn't Jesus challenge us and urge us to remember that the gifts under the tree, they're okay, that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that, but the real treasure are the people gathered around the tree. The gifts that we get and give are temporary. They're going to be forgotten not too long after they were given or received. But the people around that tree, the people we share this time of year with, that is an eternal treasure that lasts forever. So I can't help but wonder, would Jesus not challenge us to remember the physical gifts are temporary? The family, the people we love, the people we share life with, that's what's most valuable about times of the year like this. Another one. I can't help but wonder if Jesus wouldn't challenge us to be good stewards of our money, and how he might say to many people today, Christians included, don't spend beyond your means. Scripture urges us to leave no debt outstanding except to love one another. Debt creates stress and anxiety in our life. And yet so many people will go out in the next few days and weeks, and may have already done so, all in the name of having a Merry Christmas, spending money they don't have on gifts that many people don't need. I know I'm treading on thin ice here with many parents. And again, I'm not trying to take away the joy of Christmas. But if we can't pay the rent in January and put food on the table in February, if we can't pay the electric bill next month because of what we've done this month, that's not good. Is that all I get? One little amen from Jesse? Come on. We're living in a culture that will go into debt in the name of having a Merry Christmas and buy things they can't afford, and then next month they can't pay for things they need. We have a message here. The one we're following would not bless that. That's not being a good steward of the financial blessings that God gives us. And so, look, if finances are a little tight in your home this year, don't make it worse by going into debt just in the name of having a Merry Christmas. Instead of an elaborate meal, eat a simple meal. Find something that's free that helps you celebrate the season. It's not that hard. We don't have to damage ourselves. We don't have to get that store's credit card just because it's offering it. We can say, nah, I'm okay. we'll do this. Make something instead of buying something. I think Jesus would challenge us to think twice about spending beyond our means just in the name of having a Merry Christmas. Well, one more thing. I also think he would urge us, not during Christmas only, but all through the year, but even in Christmas, maybe especially in Christmas, to remember those who are less fortunate and to do something that really makes a difference in someone's life. We're told in Scripture that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is to care for the fatherless and the widows in their distress. In other words, to care for those who can't care for themselves. And so maybe this year you could undertake a special project as a family. Sponsor a hungry child. There's an organization, I think it's called Heifer International, which cracks me up, but I think that's what they go by. You can buy a third world country family a pig or a chicken or a goat or a cow that will produce for them throughout the year and make a huge economic difference in their life. If you don't want to go that route, buy some extra toys and drop them off at the Family Resource Center or some other organization that's collecting toys for Christmas so that some underprivileged child might have something under the tree. I may get in trouble for this, but it's okay, in my opinion. Put a few dollar bills in the Salvation Army kettle when you leave Walmart. They help people. And there's nothing wrong with helping people. Invite someone over for a Christmas Eve meal. Do something that gets the focus just off of you and what you're getting and what yours are getting and put it on somebody else and what you can give. That's never a bad thing. That's always a good thing. So do something this Christmas season that gets the focus off of you and yours and what you get and put it on someone else and make a difference in someone's life. Again, I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm all for it. I hope you have a merry Christmas 25 days from now. A fantastic holiday season. I look forward to it. We're going to get together at our house. We're going to celebrate Christmas. And so you celebrate Christmas too. But let's not forget, there are some things about the way we celebrate it in this culture that as followers of Christ, we might want to rethink. Let's not buy the lie that more is always better. Let's not forget that the real treasures are the people God has put in our lives, not the presents that someone else has put under the tree. Let's remember to exercise some financial self-discipline. We'll appreciate that come January and February. And let's remember, let's make a difference in someone else's life this year, not just me and mine. If we'll practice those biblical principles, then I believe we'll have a very merry Christmas. Would you do something with me? Would you stand? Would you turn to your neighbor and bless them? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.